Hello, Mzansi. You are listening to Farmers Inside Track, proudly brought to you by Food for Mzansi. Officially, this is the world's best podcast for 2024, as awarded by WANIFRA, the global organization for the world's press. I am your host, Patricia Tembo. Welcome to episode 487. Today we're discussing the dehorning of cattle. This episode is set to be both informative and practical as we welcome Ashel Mayanecha, who is an experienced livestock farmer and animal scientist. He will be discussing dehorning methods and the management thereof. Ashel, welcome to Food for Mzansi's Farmers Inside Track podcast.
Hi, Patricia. Thank you so much for the invitation. I'm really looking forward to the podcast.
Yes, and for our audience listening, Ashel Mayanecha, he's a communal farmer, livestock farmer, but he's also a registered animal scientist. He's now going to be sharing some very useful information today for our livestock farmers, specifically cattle farmers. Ashel, maybe if you want to share a little bit more about yourself, we do have a profile of Ashel on Food for Mzansi's page if you are interested in going to reading that. But Ashel, maybe if you can just give us a brief introduction of yourself.
So my name is Ashel. As you said, I'm from rural Tzaneen, Limpopo, in Hamujaji, as they call it. So I'm an animal scientist by profession, but also I'm a communal livestock farmer. So I run a small herd of beef cattle and indigenous goats. I've also registered a company called KW Farm Services, focused on livestock identification and management. So in a nutshell, I am an agricultural advisor / communal farmer. Hopefully one day I'll be able to become a commercial farmer as well, because that's my dream. But in the meantime, I would also like to share my knowledge with other people, but more than anything else, learn from other people as well. I think through collaboration, we can make farming better for everyone, actually, from your small scale, your communal, your commercial farmers as well, and feedlots as well. Now that we'll be talking about the owning, because we do know the financial implications of produced meat. Thank you, Patricia, for the invitation.
Awesome. Thank you for that great introduction. And let's get right into the topic of today. We're going to be speaking about dehorning cattle, and you're going to provide all the information, I believe, livestock farmers, especially communal farmers, need to know regarding this. So what is the purpose of dehorning cattle, and why is it considered an important management practice?
The biggest purpose of dehorning is to prevent the problem of bruised meat. It's something that we as communal farmers, or just farmers in general, don't really understand the implication that comes with those needs, right? We are the primary producers, so we don't actually understand what happens with the end product. That's where the problem is. But besides that, the reason we should actually dehorn our livestock is for safety. It's actually safer to work with animals that do not have horns. They are safer to themselves, to the other animals as well, but more importantly, to the farm infrastructure, to the animal handlers, as well as the farmers themselves. And also, the issue of space. Dehorned animals require less space for feeding, even transportation. And also, feedlots, or just typical auctioneers, they pay good price for dehorned animals, because they know ultimately if they buy animals with horns, they're going to have to incur like some losses along the way, especially at feedlots. And dehorned animals are also easier to handle in terms of temperament. I know that's something that farmers tend to breed out of their livestock, but in a nutshell, it is actually a challenge to have horned animals. They tend to be more aggressive compared to dehorned animals. But the biggest of them all is just the carcass quality. Dehorned animals tend to reduce the carcass quality, and as well as the value, even the hide quality, through bruising. So I think it is important for each and every farmer to find a way to actually dehorn their animals, preferably as young as possible.
You said that decreases the carcass quality. And of course, if carcass quality is decreased, then you get lower prices for your meat, eh?
Exactly. As a feedlot, and then you have to trim your meat because it's bruised, you actually incur like financial losses. It's something that we as farmers don't know much about, or I feel like something that is not actually spoken well enough. We are just told, like, listen, you need to dehorn your animals, but why should we actually dehorn our animals? Such information should be available out there for each and every communal farmer, emerging farmer, commercial farmers. Some people prefer to keep on the animals for various reasons, especially when it comes to the issue of stock depth. But others, they just don't do it. because they don't know how to do it or they don't see the need to do it.
Dehorning animals you mentioned also reduces the aggressiveness of the animal. Does it influence the hormone levels in cattle that have been dehorned? Does it make them more docile dehorning them?
It does in a way, but that's something that is actually debatable because does horns actually make the animal aggressive or it's just hormones or just genes in general? Because some farmers tend to have animals that have horns, especially your bunnies, that are actually docile. So I think also just the management as well and how you go about your livestock does actually make a difference. But in general, animals that have been dehorned tend to be, I don't know how, but they tend to be less aggressive.
You mentioned trying to dehorn animals as soon as possible. So what is the ideal age to dehorn cattle and why?
So we normally talk about dehorning, but there's two things. There's dehorning and there's disparding. So with disparding, we normally remove the horn buds between, say, 2 to 8 weeks. So what happens is from 8 weeks onwards, the horn buds, which are actually free-floating, they are not yet attached to the skull. From 8 weeks going on, they get attached to the skull, then they become horns. But before that, they are like free-floating horn buds, sort of like semi-horns that can be easily removed. So 2 to 8 weeks, you could eventually dispart your animals. But then from your 6 months going onwards, then that's where we have to dehorn, because now the animal actually has horns. So the method that is actually applied differs from an animal to animal in terms of age. So the younger the animals, the easier it is to dispart your animals. You don't even need to sedate your animals. You don't need to stress much about pain management or applying your local anesthetics as well. So it's actually two different things. We have to dispart at a young age. And then at an older age, that's when we dehorn.
This budding, you said, from 2 to 8 weeks. So for that, what method is applied?
There's two methods that are actually applied. So there's like caustic soda or dehorning paste. It's not really my preferred, especially during rainy days. What happens is that if the chemical leaks, they can damage the skin of the calf, as well as they can leak straight to the eyes and damage the eyes. So when the calf settle, it can also damage the eye of the calf. Alternatively, you can use a hot iron method. So basically just remove the horn bars before they attach to the skull, which is less painful, less invasive, and with fewer complications. And the calf does recover much quicker. It does happen with human beings. As you get older, you take longer to recover from your wound.
I've actually had the opportunity to debud with the hot iron method, and I see that with it being less invasive and the healing process is a lot quicker, as you've said. And how accessible is that method, though, for farmers?
It is actually accessible because you just need your dehorning irons. And then if you can't afford like your gas cylinders, because you can actually find a gas calf debarder. It's a bit expensive, but if you have like your manual dehorning irons, you can just make fire and then cut them hot enough and then restrain your calf well enough to minimize stress and injuries, then you're good to go.
If you can maybe explain for calves that are past 8 weeks, what is the best method for debudding or dehorning?
Obviously, if they are past 8 weeks, then that's where the vet comes in, because the vet has an access to your sedatives, your anesthetics. Some people still do dispart their calves where they're like over 2 months old. What normally happens is that you get to see like almost like their horns are regrowing again. So it's never really that perfect. And there's also more complications. Some people push to a certain extent that they actually break the scalp. Then the recovery period takes longer. There's issue of flies as well. So it's a challenge, obviously. But some people can still do it, provided they are well-trained. But some people just don't know when and how to go about it. Then they cause even more complications. But then obviously with older animals, then there are other methods that you can apply. They call it chipping or trimming. You can just trim the horns, the tip of the horns. They will still injure each other, but it's more or less ideal compared to when they're like fully grown horns. And other method is you also get like your dehorning bands. So they apply the rubber bands just at the start of a horn, just next to the head. The horns actually do fall off after like more or less 2 months. And something that farmers shouldn't actually use that method of dehorning bands during the breeding season because it does cause stress. I mean, you have this constant pain for like 2 months. So imagine if during breeding, then most animals won't actually breed. The method of wires. Some of them use wires, but I'm skeptical about that one because you can actually cause more damage unless if you have somebody that's well-trained that actually knows what they're doing, and they have like your sedatives, your anesthetics available just nearby. Because it might happen that you might cut off the horn with your wire and then it must start bleeding excessively. Then that's where the problem starts as well. If you don't know what you're supposed to do after the animal start bleeding excessively.
You mentioned with both animals that are past 8 weeks, it's better to maybe consult a vet to see what method is the best. But what sort of training would one need to have in order to disbud cattle or dehorning after 8 weeks?
With most farmers, they get an opportunity to work with vets where they conduct like a demonstrations. Then they show the farmers how to actually go about it, because you need to understand when to actually dehorn or disbud your cows, which method to use, which tools to use, what are the things to consider, like your pain management, because as the animal gets older, they're going to feel more pain. So those are some of the things that farmers need to know. But it's something that I feel like it hasn't been actually been put out there for farmers to actually learn and do it themselves. So still something that we are actually told, like, you need to dehorn your animals, but some people don't really know how to go about it. Like, totally, they don't know. They know that you're supposed to dehorn your animals, but how do we go about it? We normally do have like your demonstration days or your farmers days, but they normally demonstrate with like few animals. Most of the times I might actually be watching and I feel like, I can actually do this, but it's simpler to look than to do. So imagine if we can have a demonstration day where farmers can actually do it themselves. They can do it with their own animals. Or some farmers get sent to farms to actually learn from experienced guys on how to brand, but that knowledge, it ends with them. Because if you send, like, let's say, for example, you send 10 farmers to learn about dehorning, and they come from different places. Those farmers, imagine if those farmers can each host a demonstration day and assist their local farmers. Just share the knowledge. Then it becomes like a moving thing. But if it's something that ends with me, then we still want to have that continuous challenge as well going forward. So I think that's something that needs to be put out there for farmers, especially with our advisors, our extension officers. They need to have more demonstration days that are actually more practical. It could be like an half-day thing, because some of the animals, they get crowded at night. So it could be like a half-day or like for a few hours, maybe on a monthly basis.
That's very important, having demonstrations and actually having farmers practice or understand how to perform the dehorning and disbudding. You touched on demonstrations, and it's also quite important to restrain the animal properly. You know, and that's not done properly, you know, you can have injuries happen or people to actually injure the animal itself. So the restraining part of it is also seen to be quite important in disbudding and dehorning, is it?
Yeah, you also get to minimize stress as well. Because if the animal is properly restrained, then you're not going to take as much time as possible. Then you'll be done in no time and the animal moves on. Because the pain is sort of like, for that brief moment, the animal will feel the pain. But if you take longer, and the stress hormones goes high, and then if the animal is not properly restrained, we all know what happens when animal pull cornered. They will chuck, and then it's going to be a massacre, injuries all around. So restraining the animals properly is very important as well. But more than anything else, knowing what you're doing, because if the animal is properly restrained, you're probably going to take a few minutes.
So the goal is really to do it as quickly as possible to minimize the discomfort of the animal as well. In terms of the development of the horns, is something that's genetic as well. What are your thoughts on breeding polled cattle that don't find growing horns? Or what are your opinions on that? What can you share your insights?
I actually love the idea of breeding polled cattle. It's a long-term strategy, of course, based on genetic selection. What I've learned over the years is that the polled gene is actually dominant over a horn gene. So let's say, for example, you have a polled bull. The offspring of such bull, they will all be polled, because each and every animal just need one pair of that gene to not develop horns. So that's something that we should actually consider as well as farmers. But if, obviously, if you look at the auctions, you'll probably find like 3 or 4 bulls that are polled out of all the 20 or 25 that are on offer. So everybody's just like, okay, we must make sure that we get that bull. So they're not easily accessible to, let's say, for communal farmers or imaging farmers. Lucky enough, yes, you might get them from directly from the farm. But obviously, as a communal farmer, I could actually get away with a commercial bull that is naturally polled. So I think we need to tap more onto breeding polled genetics as well. It's usually much easier than I won't have to worry about dehorning my animals.
I suppose just going back to the methods, What would one do to minimize pain and stress and maybe paying more attention to livestock farmers who aren't as well resourced or who have limited resources in terms of medication and anesthetics? So what ways would you advise for minimizing pain and stress during deworming at this setting?
So I would think the idea would be to dehorn as early as possible. Farmers tend to dehorn their animals, not bearing in mind the age and the resources that they have in place, say in terms of the tools that they need to usually dehorn the animals. So to minimize pain and stress, then we're going to need to involve vets. Not many farmers can afford to invite a vet. So the best bet would be to just dehorn them as early as possible. And on top of that, consider breeding poor genetics as well. But more than anything else, knowing what you are doing as an individual, being properly trained as well, then you would know the importance of having to restrain your calf properly so that you can minimize the stress and the pain that comes with your arm or this body. I think more than anything else, just knowing what you need to do and when as well and how.
Maybe going into laws and guidelines, you know, that protect animals in terms of deworming and disbudding. Yeah, what regulations do farmers need to adhere to when deworming and disbudding?
The regulations mostly just like guidelines. Farmers need to deworm their animals at the right age and make sure that whoever's performing the procedure, it's knowledgeable enough, it's competent enough to actually perform the procedure. More than anything else, ensure that the animal is properly restrained, because if the animal is not properly restrained, then the issue of stress, the pain is more severe. And then you can also experience injuries. Injuries to the animal itself, injuries to the animal handlers as well. So I feel like it comes down to just properly managing the whole procedure as well. So basically, as the animal gets older, then we're going to need the vets to come to you to assist with sedatives, your local anesthetics. But if the animals, the calves are still young, then we could actually perform the procedure without your painkillers or anesthetics.
What are long-term benefits of dehorning cattle for herd management as well as productivity?
Yeah, the long-term benefits is the reduced risk of injuries, because when animals tend to injure themselves, tend to injure other animals and even the handlers as well. Other benefits is like the reduced risk of bruising. We know that bruising does reduce the carcass and the hide quality as well as value. It's something that I personally like. We don't know much about the financial implications of bruised meat. We are primary producers, and once I sell my animals to the feedlots, it sort of like ends there. I don't really know about what happens from the primary agriculture until the cheshire, until the meat gets to the dinner table. So that's something that I feel like needs to be emphasized enough. What happens as a feedlotter, I buy your animals at a point. What are the financial implications? So it should be something that is actually well spoken in terms of figures, like how much are we really losing as farmers from bruised meat? Because some of the animals, they tend to condemn the meat so much that it can't be consumed by human beings. That's a serious loss. So I also think in those lines, like if, let's say, we could minimize the bruised meat, I'm sure the price of meat, especially beef, would be ideal for consumers as well. For deworming as well, we can reduce the risk of ingrown horns. You know, horns grow in different size, shapes. Some actually spiral, and then you find that the horn is facing the eye of the animal. Over time, it will cause injuries to the animals as well. Deworming animals require less space for transportation and feeding as well. They're much easier to handle. Animals with horns, they can injure you unaware, not even